starting the show, kids?
I have a couple seconds.
You do.
This is good cheese.
From the bunker,
oh my goodness, it's excellent.
Jody Hamilton and Rick Beatty. And special guest, Nick Savage.
Hello! Did I say that right?
Hey! Boys and girls, mommies and daddies. I waited for the tag. Welcome to From the Bunker. You can find us at from-the-bunker.com. If you wish to email us, you can do so at info@from-the-bunker.com. Subscribe to the show, left-hand side. I forgot last week.
Yeah, you did.
About halfway down, put your email address in there and then hit send and then check your spam box because that's where we are. My name is Rick Beatty. Her name is Jody Hamilton. His name is Nick Sadler.
That's right. Yeah!
Nick's back from abroad.
He's
back in the house.
I'm back. I'm sorry I was away. I tried to dial it in as well. It just didn't work out.
It wasn't happening.
I was actually on when I was going to join you last time. I'd just come off the roof of the mother of a friend of mine whose air conditioning unit had packed up in Joshua Tree. And so I was on the roof of this thing.
It was that hot out, too?
It's real. It was baking.
Yeah, Joshua Tree
an evaporative
especially.
Cooler is an elegant device. Uh-huh. It basically, all it is imagine I'm holding a really wet towel in front of a fan and standing in front of it. That is how an evaporative cooler works. Right. Remarkably simple technology. So I'm on the roof trying to fix this thing, trying to do it quick enough to get downstairs to cool your crazy asses.
And we said no.
I know, it wasn't going to work.
Is that the same as the swamp cooler?
Exactly the same technology.
Exactly. You know, it's funny because where I went to college is in southeastern Ohio, and you would take the side roads, and there would be these tiny houses with these gigantic swamp coolers on the front porch. And also, on the front porch, swamp cooler, and then in the yard – is pre-small dish satellite because it was in the mountains of the Appalachian Mountains.
Right.
They would have these satellite dishes that were ginormous.
There's one still in the neighborhood that's like as big as this room.
You know, so you'd
really?
Have a, you'd have a house that's
that, like, they're talking to people in Alpha Centauri.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's old school. It's like that movie Switched with John Ritter.
Exactly.
Where they get sucked into the satellite dish. It's totally that kind of dish.
You know, these houses were like 300 square feet. And then
the satellite dish is 500 square
feet in the yard so they could watch like the Dukes of Hazzard.
Wow.
Wherever. Yeah.
Anyway. Wow. So, okay.
Yes.
I need to do a public service announcement for our subscribers and those that listen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to attempt to
both
try
of them.
To. Yes, but all 70. We have 70 subscribers.
Oh, hello. How are you?
We've
had a lot of downloads. It's been. Remember that 1 week there was like 16,000. It was Stephanie.
Yeah.
It was Stephanie retweeting her with black people.
Oh, yeah. Remind me to tell you a Stephanie story.
And condolences to Stephanie Miller, by the way, with her friend Jimmy, who died unexpectedly on Monday.
Did you know him?
I believe I remember him. Nice. Open that beer up, baby.
It's not a beer. It's a health tonic.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's beer?
Much like beer.
Don't be churlish about it.
But no, Jimmy, I did meet him. I recall when she described him, I remember meeting him. He was lovely. And he had a heart attack on Monday or Sunday night. Yeah, unexpectedly. Not, you know, so our condolences, of course. But Stephanie definitely helped us with those downloads. There's no doubt about it. But anyway, so I'm going to attempt to migrate the site this weekend since it's a holiday weekend.
Mm-hmm. You know what they say about immigrants.
Yeah.
Well, so you don't want to do any migrations unnecessarily.
I have to.
No, do you have to go?
Really?
No, go to Home Depot.
Oh yeah, I'll do that.
Really? Go down there?
And go down and get some workers, and they'll come back and they'll migrate your
So how do you do an immigrant of a radio show?
Well, the problem is the website that we currently have that we easily do this podcast from, they're discontinuing the service, the podcasting service at the place where we are hosted. So, I have a new page. You're on it. It even says
Oh, really?
Yeah, it says, and every now and then, Nick Sadler.
Every now and then.
Yes. And on occasion, Nick Sadler.
Delightfully fickle, Nick Sadler.
And so I have it, and we have an address that's nice. So, but I have to talk to my old server about iTunes in particular. I have to make sure that the new thing goes there so that it's a new – it's complicated. So I'm going to talk to my people tomorrow and say, this is what I want to do. How do I do that? And because we only have till June 10th.
Really? Mm. I'm really actually annoyed about the digital immigration issues. I think that we should put someone on the border of
of the internet.
Like Tron?
Like Tron. Yeah, very much like Tron.
Or Ender. Let's do it with Ender.
And then we should insist on papers. I want to see where's your papers? Show me your papers. Any papers? Mm-hmm. Newspapers?
Any paper.
Toilet paper.
Toilet paper, that's
that'll
the best.
Do.
Toilet right. paper's the best.
You're in. Done. You see?
See, it's easy.
That's an immigration policy for you.
Yeah. There you go.
There we are.
Problem solved.
So subscribers, here's what I'm going to do. I have all your email addresses because I have that power. What I'm going to do is once I've moved the site over, which will be hopefully over this weekend, I will then add you to the new site's subscription, so check your spam, and I will also send you all an email about it so that you know, check your spam.
So
I believe that our info email address should stay because it's paid for till next year.
What's it like to believe in something?
Oh, Jesus.
I know, right?
Oh, God, that's so radical. Why did we start off on that note? What's it like to believe in something?
Wow.
You just ruined the show, man.
Totally, man. Yeah. I'm down.
with only 70 subscribers, is it just better to rush to the school bus and go and pick them up and just do it, you know?
They're new. There's a couple of new ones.
Hi.
Yeah, hi.
We have a lot of downloads, just not
we do. Not a lot of subscribers, but a lot of downloads. So
are there any people that listen to us because they hate us?
I hope so. And they don't email us either. There was one guy when Sean and I were doing the old show, Ham and Leg Show, and he'll come. You'll meet him. And one time this guy called us Obama sycophants, and I loved that.
Okay. Oh, I'm an Obama sycophant.
And what was funny was, like, you have terrible writing. Why are you? And I'm like, it's an audio podcast, so you might want to listen to the show before you.
What he said?
Yeah, the guy's email was, I assume.
Or a gal.
I think it was a dude. Mm-hmm. He said, your writing is pedantic and you're an Obama sycophant. And I'm like, okay, the writing is so not important on this. It's an audio podcast. It's right. Just a summary. I'm not writing a blog. It's a summary of the show. And he never emailed back.
And if you knew anything, we don't write.
We don't write. We are so not prepared.
Yeah. I want to troll.
Do you?
Yeah,
you're kind of troll anyway.
I'd like to. Well, do I troll?
Should we have Sarah Palin troll you?
I don't. Anybody?
No, you don't. You have like an alternate Facebook name where you like troll people.
I guess we don't know about that.
It's not trolling. I argue with him. I have a friend, Simon. Bless him. He lost his mother this week.
He's in England.
He's in England. Yeah. He is in England at the moment, but he has a Facebook profile under the name Gian Vermey.
Gian,
and I have one under the name of Toshi Dehuizen, a Japanese-Swedish exchange
student. Toshi Dehuizen?
Yeah.
I like it.
And Simon and I will get on basically by running two different browsers. We're going to have two different Facebook profiles up at the same time. And then the two of us communicate in a foursome.
Oh, really?
And argue with each other. Hilarious.
Well, that's
I like it.
That's great. Yeah.
I
argue with you as well.
Yeah, you can. And Toshi Dehuizen is someone I kind of it wasn't my invention. It was a friend of mine, Dr. Greg Bremner, invented him, and we basically would start paging him at airports and having birthday parties for him. And
all I like think is like you
bring him up in conversation. Oh, my friend Toshi Dehuizen. Toshi, the ageless Japanese-Swedish exchange student.
Uh-huh. Who would argue with himself. Like, not unlike a person on the bus.
Exactly. This is good cheese, by the way.
You brought good cheese.
Yeah.
You did. Yeah. You brought crunchy things, but we're trying not to be crunchy.
So how was your week? Let me start.
Week has been pretty good.
Good. Yeah. You're wearing a lot of birds.
I am. It's I've kind of abdicated the responsibility for my clothing to my goodly wife, who buys me stuff that I'd see in a shop and go, oh, that's really good. That's really fun. I would wear that, but I wouldn't buy it. But she buys it. So now I'm covered in birds right now.
No, you're covered in waterfowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, waterfowl.
Yes, waterfowl, absolutely. Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice.
So, pay attention. Yeah.
I got one of those jobs that came in this week.
Oh, really? How'd it go?
Oh, it was very interesting. I was a conversation with a producer I worked with a few times before. And she says to me, "Look, we've got to do this thing with Victoria's Secret, but you know, it gets better. we're not too sure where we're going to be doing it. It's a possibility you might have to like spend like maybe like two sets of weekends in the Maldives because they're doing
they're sinking.
Yeah, I know. But I'm going to get there by when there's stuff sticking out of the water.
There you go, baby.
As long as the waiters can stand up, I don't care.
There are underground, there are underwater hotel rooms. There's a Hilton there.
Really?
That has rooms that are underwater.
Well, with this company, I think I'll be staying actually on the beach in a tent, but, you know, whatever. So that's my job towards the end of the year, I think. So I'm back on the Victoria's Secret routine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I'd be, you know, someone's got to do
it. And your
it,
wife's
right?
cool with that, right? She's going.
I'm actually
going
to try and take her with me. That's the big pitch at the moment. Is that we need to take someone out there to do maintenance on our end, and we'll. My wife is a makeup artist and a very good one.
Oh, can she do me every day? Can she come over?
It's possible.
Fix me.
It's possible.
She'd get rid of
everything.
SAG.
Is possible. Yeah. SAG.
Right.
The Screen Actors Guild.
No. Or AFTRA.
No, AFTRA.
Skin SAG. It's SAG AFTRA now.
SAG-AFTRA.
Yeah, don't get me started on
sounds
SAG-AFTRA.
Like an erectile dysfunction.
It does, doesn't it? SAG-AFTRA?
Yeah, I'm taking SAG-AFTRA.
Hey, ultra-low budget contract for, $8 an hour.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, excuse me, $100 flat rate.
Oh, no,
you
no,
know,
no.
For like a 14-hour day. This is like...
You have no idea.
I do.
No, I know
I
you
very
do.
Good
but,
idea.
But, I mean, it's hilarious what they do now to industrial actors. Because before the last, like the 2011 contract, if you wanted to use an industrial, educational, mm-hmm. corporate video on the internet, you had to pay extra.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nope.
No.
And I was like, wow, as a producer, that's awesome for me because I don't have to pay more. But I thought, I remember contacting my payroll company going, really? That's not good.
I saw the best thing on...
they just screwed their own actors.
On Casting Frontier, it was a ultra low budget, non-paid. It was for slaves on a slave ship. So I'm like, oh my God, how ironic. You want people to show up
to work for free
as slaves on a slave ship.
That's
for
genius.
Free. You know,
that is genius,
coffee,
actually.
Coffee, credit, and meals. So what's the freaking difference?
Do these people not get the point of ironic behavior?
No.
I mean, like, what's the...
No.
Do they no sense of irony at all?
None.
Or decency.
No, quite clearly. That's gone out the window.
All right. How was your week?
It's been okay. It's I have actually, normally I would just get Monday off, but we're getting tomorrow off.
Oh, for really? Oh, okay.
Of my job.
Oh, sorry.
Wow. That was loud. What are you listening to?
Rick Springfield singing Victoria's Secret.
He's awesome.
Really?
Which is just like Jesse's Girl.
Of course it is.
It's Jesse's Girl with like a different hook.
Yeah, well.
It's the same song. It starts the same
and
way.
And he's awesome.
Can you blame him though, really?
No, not at all.
Never blame him. He's awesome. Have you seen him play?
Rick Springfield?
Yeah.
No.
Oh my God.
I love, you know what?
Is he good?
Oh, he's amazing.
Is he?
Yeah.
I was never a Rick Springfield fan.
I saw him.
Oh, he's a countryman.
2 years ago.
What do you mean a countryman?
He's Australian.
He's from Australia.
Rick Springfield's not Australian.
Yes, he is. Absolutely.
No.
Yes.
He speaks like a septic.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He's been here a while.
He speaks like a septic? Is that how you focus?
Oh, septic is an Australian expression for what Americans are. Septic,
yeah.
Tank,
no,
yank.
He's been here years for years. Oh, that's very Cockney of
it's rhyming slang. It's Australian
it's
rhyming slang.
It's Cockney, yeah.
Australians like have kind of rhyming slang as well.
Yeah. Like a septic. Oh, okay.
Well, no, he's been here a long time, but he's Australian.
Wow.
You did not know that.
That makes so much sense.
Oh.
In excess are Australian?
Yes.
AC/DC are
yes.
Australian?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Apart from
I've met
Brian.
One guy from NXS and Brian and two other guys from the AC/DC.
And
NXS played at my sister's 21st birthday party.
Oh, really?
I think because my aunt was f***ing Michael Hutchins at the time.
Did you say that dirty word?
Yep.
I have to say it at least once.
Yeah, well,
just get it out.
Whatever.
Yeah, as it were.
Yeah. So, he was amazing. I saw him at the Starlight Bowl a couple years ago, 65 years old.
Yeah.
Rocked it, man. The guy can, oh my God, he's a great singer and awesome on stage.
Do you remember a
and I
group
got to meet him.
Zoot?
We're talking about Rick Springfield
again.
Yeah.
I'm much more of a Joni Mitchell fan.
Huh.
Okay, you wouldn't like his show then.
No.
It's much more
you know what I like
animated
about,
than hers would be.
You know what I like about Rick Springfield right now?
That he's hot? I'm sorry, did I say that out loud?
No, he's a good-looking man.
He's really good-looking.
He used to come into my former place of employment. Anyway, he's speaking out on depression.
Oh, yeah, he's got bipolar disorder or something.
No, I don't think he's bipolar, but
he's depressed.
But
absolutely.
Definitely, like... has like severe issues with depression.
And he used to come into Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, he'd come into Chuck E. Cheese
just to cheer up
and cry on the children.
He'd just come in to cheer up and then weep
in the corner.
See, my view is you have a Chuck E. Cheese, a bar, and a spa next
put them
door.
All together.
Moms go to the spa, dads go to the bar, kids, they're all happy.
And then a weed shop right there.
Yeah.
Holy dude, for teenagers.
You know, and a hot doctor and a like micro mini.
I mean, a Chuck E. Cheese is like Vegas for kids.
Is it?
Totally. Have you been to one?
No, I've never.
It's insane. My mother actually met Chuck E. Cheese.
Really?
There's a guy called Chuck E. Cheese.
No, he comes out.
Really? No, not the giant
Chuck E.
rat.
Chuck E. Cheese came out?
The giant rat comes
Chuck
out.
Chuck E. Cheese is gay?
He came out.
No, different kind of coming out.
You heard it first on
no,
the
No, Chuck
bunker.
E. Cheese is gay. No,
Chuck E. Cheese came out once.
He came out from the backstage area to greet the children that were having birthdays, and my nephew was having his fifth birthday party, and my mom was there. She got to have a picture with him.
Yeah, good.
See?
All right.
She got to... I didn't get one.
We're going to get to something serious
eventually,
here.
Sorry, Steve.
Any minute.
Eventually,
any
Steve,
minute.
We will. So go on with your story that we both forgot. Because we're old.
It was Rick Springfield coming into your place of employment.
Yes, we went there.
He was talking... he's speaking out about depression right now, which I think is like it's a issue... A movement that's very near and dear to my heart at the moment. And it's really great that people, you know, of his stature are coming out and speaking about it.
It's
and
important.
There's a lot of people, Dick Cavett. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of people who are coming out saying like, hey, you know, and removing the stigma from it, you know, and that's, you know, and
any kind of mental thing has always had a stigma to it, whether it's depression or whatever it is, bipolar disease.
Right.
All these things have always had a stigma. And, and for people to come out and go, look, I have this problem.
I'm Rick Springfield, bitches.
Bitches, yeah.
You know, and also, like, I think... And
would he
more...
say, I'm Rick Springfield, bitches?
Would he would.
No, in a
he
perfect
might.
World,
he
would say that.
You know what? I think he would. I met the man. He might.
He might. You know, but...
We call him up. You got a number?
Yeah, call him up.
I have his agent's number, and that's better.
Give him a call. Come on, let's dial him in.
Yeah.
We should start doing that. We should start randomly calling people.
As soon as I have the appropriate... stuff to do that, we will. We'll just call people.
We need an old-fashioned telephone in the middle of the table, like a bright red one with a dial out on the front. Yeah, like...
No. Rotary dial.
Yeah. You said my grandparents...
Hey, Rick,
have
how you doing?
Hey, Rick. Hey, Rick, what's up? Remember me? I met you a couple years ago. I wanted you to be in a soap that I was writing, but you never called back.
But anyway, that's the end of my Rick Springfield thing. I think it's great that he's speaking out on it, and I wish more folks in the African-American community would speak out on this issue because there is like a stigma, you know, and it's not a weakness.
It's not.
It's, you know.
It just
a
is
lot
what
of
it
time,
is.
It is what it is. A lot of times it's chemical. More times than not, it's a chemical issue. And I mean,
there's situational depression and there's chemical depression. Right. Those are two very different things. And if you're consistently depressed, it's probably chemical.
Right.
And there are ways to treat that.
Right.
That you can deal with it and you don't have to feel numb either.
There's
all sorts of new therapies and they're getting better and better at it.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I mean, it used to be
maybe
awful.
Maybe we can put a link.
I have a therapy for that, actually. It's called the slap, slap, slap. Now pull yourself together.
Right.
It's a 19th century therapy that works extremely well in some circles.
Turn that smile upside down. Put on a happy face.
Yes,
what's
and pull
matter?
Your socks up. Let's go out into the park and fly a kite right now.
There you go.
Right now.
Hey, here's an idea.
Do you have your jodhpurs?
Cheer up. Just cheer up.
Just cheer up.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
God. Darn it.
Why didn't I think of that?
Well, you know what? I read something today. You know Eeyore, the character from Winnie the Pooh?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
He's depressed all the time.
Yeah.
But he's invited everywhere. Nobody ever says cheer up to him.
That's true.
They just let him be who he is.
Yeah,
Eeyore.
He was the precursor to Schlepprock.
Totally.
And there's Marvin the Paranoid Android from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Permanently depressed.
See, and nobody asks Eeyore or others to cheer up. They just love that person.
Love that person.
Period.
All right.
All right. Sorry, Steve.
That's it.
Are we off that subject now?
We are. We can. Where do you want to go? Okay, I just saw something earlier today that I did not email y'all.
Yeah, Shawshank Thompson?
A teenager in Texas who sold hash brownies might serve a life sentence in Texas for said brownie manufacturing.
Because they are including the weight of the brownies themselves.
The sugar, oil,
the full weight of the brownie into...
That seems illegal
into the charge. So like... As opposed to it being like two grams of hashish.
Rick.
It's now.
He should goddamn burn in hell.
He should burn in hell. I'm sorry. What was I thinking?
And now for some old-timey music.
Well, the thing
maybe
is...
his flames can, like, you know...
The same state where the affluenza child got off for killing four people.
Right. This guy's going to get...
Right.
This kid, he's 19 years old. He made pot brownies because his friends wanted them, or he was going to make a little bit of a living off of it for a minute. Might get life for that, and the kid who killed drunk driving on purpose, stole a truck, killed four people, probation. Same state.
But that makes complete sense,
doesn't
it?
I mean, where's the surprise there?
I mean, we're talking about Texas? It's easy. Just take the logic and turn it on its head. Just turn it upside down. And that's what you have. I mean, you've been to Texas. Come on. You know what these guys are like. I like Texans. They're just upside down people.
I know.
It's like, you know, but the sad thing is, like, I am outraged.
He's white, at least he's white.
But it's... The outrage should come from the fact that I'm no longer shocked by this stuff anymore. You know, the fact that I shake my head going, you know, it's Texas. It's just like,
it's Florida. It's Georgia. It's whatever, you know.
Where was that guy who was on his seventh, I don't know if you saw that, seventh DUI?
DUI, yeah. And he keeps getting his license back?
What he got, he's on his seventh DUI. And he led the police on it.
Because he's, like, quite wealthy and white.
Exactly.
That's why. Shocking. Because he deserves to get it back.
He has a job. Well, he has a company that has, I don't know how many employees. Like,
Rick,
I want to say, like,
Rick,
500.
He has a genetic disposition towards a much fairer treatment than anyone else gets.
I love that genetic
predisposition. He does. He has a genetic predisposition. His melanin is a different level.
This attracts a different form of justice. Mm. It's called even-handed, a lot more on your side justice.
But can you even, like, if you had to put all that on it, is it justice any longer?
No.
I would say no.
No.
Nay, nay.
Nay, nay.
Justice. You guys are so cynical. You just don't understand how it works in Texas.
or anywhere else. Yeah. Certainly in this country.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, at least this kid is white.
Yeah.
Thank God. In a weird way. But it's still wrong.
It's still incredibly wrong.
It's not right. Yeah. It's just, I mean, this poor kid should not see. You want to throw him in jail for a year? Fine.
Well, you know, he broke the law.
He did.
He broke the law, so there should be some punishment.
Something.
Some punishment.
But not
life
that.
Imprisonment?
That's ridiculous.
It's like this, one of the protesters from the Occupy movement.
Yes,
who,
the girl.
Elbowed a copper in the face. Okay, so if the guy was probably manhandling or
beating her up
or whatever, and then what was it? There's some bad stuff going on there. So she elbows the guy in the face. Okay, naughty girl. You know, you shouldn't have done that. You know, you don't elbow another human being.
Yeah, but when somebody's
face.
Grabbing your tits.
Yeah, but still, you know, maybe like give him a little kiss or something like that. Because, you know, if someone's going to grab my tits, I want to go to first base before second base is there. I expect that. Mm-hmm. But that's just me. Anyway, but elbowing the guy in the face, that's a fourth base. Well, maybe fifth or sixth if you're an S&M kind of freak. But if you're doing that, like you deserve to be get your knuckles wrapped a bit. But the proposal was
seven years.
Hit it with a maximum 7 years, and that was
she's
just,
getting three.
No, she got a suspended.
No good.
And a community service. So I think said that she's got time served plus 3 months and community service, and then a probationary sentence for 5 years. I don't know the exact details.
Way
but
too
it's
long.
In, that's in the shape of that.
That's ridiculously too long.
But it, really, the application of the law is it needs evaluating in America for me, I look at it and I look at these individual cases and the outcomes and the penalties these people are paying, and it doesn't make any sense. And when you compare to the fact that we've got a whole class of people in New York who've got off scot-free for raping the country, causing huge heartache. You know, multiples of people who committed suicide because of these events. And no one is going to get prosecuted. No one's going to get their feet held to the fire. Nobody.
No. Well,
and that's the root cause of what's happened. What the problems are with this country at the moment. And now you look at some poor schmo who's baking hash brownies and is going to get it in the neck for the rest of his life.
I mean, it's up to the judge for the sentencing. It's just the prosecutor shouldn't have charged him with those crimes. It's like,
I mean,
dude,
it's so
innocuous.
Yeah.
It's...
Well, and it's also piling on. In fact, they included the eggs
and
the sugar.
The eggs and the sugar and the flour and the chocolate and all that stuff.
It's ridiculous. Getting back to the Occupy woman who had the bruises on her breast where the cop grabbed her and multiple witnesses saying like, yeah.
They didn't even put that in the trial, right?
Right.
That wasn't
allowed. I don't think.
Yeah, the jury didn't see that.
Yeah, where the cop like grabbed her and she reflexively
elbowed
him. As, you know, but like Nick said, like you hit a cop.
But she doesn't necessarily know it's a cop at that point.
It doesn't matter. I mean, if you hit someone, whether you mean to or not, there should be like, if someone's going to bring a trial against you, you should stand up and say, look, I did it. It was reflexive. He grabbed my boobs.
Yeah, but she wasn't allowed to testify to that.
But this is the problem with the system. The system is there to stop people beating up other people and everyone have a right of recourse. And the recourse should have been there, but is it being applied in a reasonable way? Patently not.
No.
I mean, she there were bruises on her
breast. Right.
So, and that was never introduced in trial because the judge said that's not relevant.
And that's bad, especially if they're non-consensual.
Yes.
Hello.
And also, like, if you like to like take this out, extrapolate this out, if you go to Nevada, you have militiamen pointing automatic
guns.
Weapons at federal officers, and there's
no recourse.
There's no recourse whatsoever.
It's they like, don't get arrested.
I have a lethal weapon pointed at a sheriff's head. Is saying, I'm going to use this if you take, you know, 3 steps forward.
Right.
And there's no recourse. Well, you know, it's just like, you're right.
They did the right thing in Nevada because they didn't, that could have caused bloodshed.
Something has to be done. Because you can't have these freaking yahoos out there pointing guns at sheriff's
just
officers.
Just get black people doing it and it'll stop.
You know, it's like
you tell them, Ricky.
You know, I'm serious.
I'm dead serious too. I mean, if they were black folks, it would be different.
Yes,
guys are crazy. These guys are like, you know, they're aiming, you know, potentially lethal weapons at law enforcement.
No, absolutely
officers.
Lethal weapons.
What's going on?
Like, I am like.
Remember the two Black Panthers?
Yeah, the two Black Panthers.
Those two guys on Fox News, had they been kind of carrying automatic weapons, that'd be it.
Yeah.
Chuck and Jerry?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know them.
I have their numbers.
They're on speed dial. Stand outside.
They guard the nation.
You know, but I understand, like, I applaud the...
the restraint?
The restraint, but something has to be done because you can't have this as a precedent.
I agree.
You know, you can't have people pointing guns and saying like, we disagree with the law of the land, so we're going to show up with weapons and point them at officers. Mm-hmm. You know, that cannot stand.
I agree.
At all. So something needs to be done.
Reminded me of the dude then in Lebowski.
Oh, really?
This aggression cannot stand, man.
Can't stand, man.
That cannot stand, man.
I'm quoting the dude.
It tied the room together.
It did.
Right. And all I need is...
If you go to a Lebowski party, kids, go as the rug.
Go as the rug?
Don't
the
go
rug.
In the robe.
I'd
just
go as
go
Bunny.
As the rug.
I want to go
as Bunny.
I'd go as him in the fantasy scene.
I'd suck your cock for $100.
Yeah.
Mark that. Or I'll go as, what's her name, Juliet, whatever her name is. Flying in.
Yeah, that's my outfit. That's totally
that.
My outfit.
Flying in, dropping like paint bombs
that's
on
the
people.
Outfit. Yeah. That's the outfit. That's the total outfit.
She's fantastic in it.
I love
it. And David Thewlis is the guy that Julianne she's sitting with. Julianne Moore is sitting in the room with an English actor called David Thewlis, who's the art critic. and he's just giggling maniacally, and which is unusual because David Thewlis in every other role plays this really deeply pained person.
Yeah.
In Lebowski, he plays this complete laughing buffoon.
He was right. Drunk.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. God knows I am.
Yeah.
So we have other news.
No, we don't.
Speaking about things that
go bump in the night.
Go bump in the night.
Yes.
A police commissioner in New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah.
Who has now since resigned, by the way.
Oh, he resigned?
Yes.
Oh, did you see any of the... Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I'll step on it.
Called our president the...
called him a nigger.
Thank you. Because I won't say it.
I'll say it, because I hate the N-word.
I hate that word. I hate the phrase as well.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to. And I'm quoting, so...
I have to see that effing...
Yeah, nigger.
Robert Copeland doubled down. Mm-hmm. And I believe I did use the N-word in reference to the current occupant of the White House. For this, I do not apologize. He meets and exceeds my criteria for such. The occupant of the White House?
No. Take it to the next one. That's the most insidious of it. Like, he exceeds and what's the
My criteria my for such.
What is your freaking quite criteria, for being a nigger? It's like... I don't. If you saw any of the,
I'm not pissed off of what he said. I mean, that's just standard redneck rhetoric. It's just the pompous language.
New Hampshire rhetoric, by the way.
Just for that,
it's not even redneck. It's New Hampshire.
No. There's rednecks everywhere.
Yeah, there are. But it's New Hampshire. It's New England. You don't expect it in New England.
No, I lived in Boston.
That's true.
So
yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
Boston.
Yeah.
So we met Stevie.
Stevie.
Next.
No, I didn't know him there.
No, oh. Here.
Yeah.
But Mitt Romney. Mitt came to the president's defense, in which he didn't have to. It wasn't really that. It was just like, the vile epithet used and confirmed by the commissioner has no place in our community. He should apologize and resign. He has since resigned. I don't think he's going to apologize. But, yay Mitt Romney,
Yeah, you know what? But you shouldn't. I mean, yay Mitt Romney, but you really shouldn't get props for coming out and saying the obvious.
Well, yes, but nobody else did.
Well, that's true.
Did Lindsey Graham come out and say that? Did John McCain come out? No.
No, you're right.
Did Jeb Bush?
You're right.
Did anybody else? No. Mitt Romney.
Got there first.
Nobody else, as far as I know, has said anything.
No, it doesn't really matter. Like, if these people play this for a political, it's the right statement to make, but Mitt Romney comes from... a church
that barely just allowed black folks in.
Well, they
in the 70s.
They describe in their religion black people as the people of the devil. That's what they used to believe.
Yes, they changed that in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's perfectly reasonable to change one of the tenets of your faith. Just
it happens all the time.
Popular.
It happens. Go see Book of Mormon. Oh, it closed.
Oh, really?
It was genius.
Oh, I wanted to see it.
Oh, my God, it was so genius.
Mormons are... I really like Mormons, though. They're nice people. They're just
have a lot of children, like the Catholics.
They just believe in some screwed-up ideas.
A little bit.
Bless them.
Magic underwear.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
I hear they recruit heavily into the Secret Service from the Mormon Church.
Really?
Interesting. Yeah. Well, they are the keepers of the...
You think about it. It kind of makes sense.
Well, they are the keepers of all of our information. If you want to know information on your genealogy...
Yeah.
Go to Westwood. Go to the Mormon Temple in Westwood.
You're talking about the Secret Service.
That too. No, the Mormon Temple in Westwood. You want to know about your past in this country? They have it.
Wow, they don't.
But the Mormons baptize people posthumously into their
faith.
That's
wrong.
No, why?
Especially when they're doing Jews.
They're doing. Yeah. They did Hitler, for God's sake, and a number of people who died in the Holocaust, and including Anne Frank.
So she's now a Mormon?
So what happens?
No, like, she's a Mormon now.
So what happens? You're Hitler and you're in hell, if you believe in hell. And you get a call like,
you're up.
Adolf, yeah.
You're up.
You've been sprung. The Mormons sprung
you. I mean, and why would you want Hitler to be part of your religion?
Because they're
it's
all
unfathomable why you would want the detritus of humankind to come and join you. But they've probably
Attila?
Got some valid reasons.
Attila, is he there?
Attila the Hen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
What about Napoleon?
Maybe it's dudes.
Napoleon Bonaparte.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I hate Napoleon chicken. You know why? I always get the bony part.
Oh, dear. I've never heard that before. Is that a new one?
Fresh off Saturday Night Live. I got a gig.
The glassware that you would drink champagne out of, the flute and then the kind of the much broader cuppy one.
It's always a flute. It's better.
You know, you know who Napoleon Bonaparte designed the one
that's
with the
why
matcha?
It's bad.
Yes, it's designed to be the shape of Josephine's breast.
No, really?
I kid you not.
Well, it is a kind of a nipply thing.
Yeah, it's a little nipply thing at the bottom, but the shape and size and
so she was a B cup.
She was a little cup, and it was designed for her. He also used to send messages back to her when he was returning from battle that would say things like, "I am returning. Do not bathe."
Ew. That's very French.
Here's another one for you. Why are croissants shaped the way they are?
Because they always come back.
No.
Oh, yeah.
It's because, again, in Napoleonic times, when the French were at war with the Moors, they used to eat...
ups to the Moors.
They used to eat the crescent for breakfast, as in croissant as a crescent, right, which is the symbol of the Islamic faith. And so when you go to Islamic countries that were formerly occupied by the French, the croissants are all straight.
Oh.
Because it's an offense to
eat. Oh, so they're like a crescent shape. We eat your god for breakfast.
That is exactly it. We eat your god for breakfast.
Nice.
Well, there's a bit of politics and everything.
That's really effed up.
You scratch the surface, and there's something dark there.
Yeah, I know. It's a big skirt.
Especially at my house.
But it's kind of genius in the hate realm.
It's like, genius hate, exactly. But it's like, really, a baked good? Really? We're going with baked good? And now I can't eat a croissant?
Is the croissant hate speech?
Yes. Exactly. It's hate eating. It's hate eating.
It's hate eating.
Well, unless that's you what they stuff had it with jam, then it's just good. Good.
A little bit of egg. There's some stuff you can do with a croissant. Yeah.
Well, they didn't
lovely.
Have the internet.
No, they didn't.
Or, you know.
Yet? Really?
Yeah.
So, but the French had Minitel before us, and that was the prototypical internet.
Minitel.
Minitel was a television-driven information system that was in France for 15, 20 years before we had the internet, and was basically the internet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Al Gore. I attribute that to Al Gore.
Do you know, okay, tangent. Do you know the
that never happens on this show.
We can have different bells for that. Right? A segue bell and a tangent bell.
Tangent bell, exactly.
Wait, hold on.
Thank you for playing non sequitur.
Pretty much. Do you know how to access the sub-internet?
The scary parts.
The dark.
That's where the real porn is.
That's where, yeah.
Yes, I've.
And that's where Lindsey Graham's.
Do you use a talk client to get there? Or where do you go? Do you need to use a talk client to get there?
I don't know how to get there.
Well, I can show you.
Dude, I use Safari. So I don't think I'm going to get there.
Do you know what VPN is? And I'm not talking about visible panty line.
I know what that is.
What is that?
A virtual private network. You need a VPN, and you need to hide behind masses of crap to get onto the dark net.
Really?
Because basically, going onto the dark net without having a fair amount of barrier between you and the snoops is basically saying, "Come and arrest me."
Right. Okay.
Because no one goes there
for good
to buy a puppy
or to buy a puppy or
they might
or get a
depending on the puppy
unless. Puppy is code word for a large amount of pharmaceutical drugs you're buying from Cuba. Puppy.
That's
now
where the
means.
RPG would have come from.
Right, exactly.
Puppy now is the unit of measurement for MDMA. It means a ton of MDMA.
Right.
I'd like a puppy.
I miss that.
I'm sure my RPG would have been here by now if I'd used the darknet.
Yeah, the RPG would totally have been here.
I tried to buy an RPG.
There was a point when Silk Road was really pounding hard and people were dumping their Bitcoin. Do you know Silk Road?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so oh my goodness, here we go. I'm going to be like the granddaddy of educators.
Oh my god,
today.
We're just going to so get arrested.
So you know what Bitcoin is, obviously.
Yes.
So Bitcoin was the currency used in the darknet, so people would trade services and product. And the Silk Road was a network
Hooker.
Of people that would be able to provide you drugs, but in incredibly large quantities. And you could buy this with Bitcoin, and it would be delivered by UPS or FedEx.
Oh,
gotta
of course.
Love that.
Don't you love that?
Yeah.
There was at one point.
I'm going postal service because it's cheaper.
FedEx became the largest transporter of illegal narcotics in the world for a considerable
Shocking.
Length of time. Yeah.
Shocking. I'm shocked.
Did they know or did they just turn
care.
Their head?
They don't care.
I mean,
they don't care.
Sophisticated packing systems like, you know, you... You shrink wrap the the cocaine or whatever,
and then
coffee.
And then, well, then you shrink wrap it first, and so you take all the
air. I know how to shrink wrap.
And then you wash it in alcohol. Mm-hmm. You submerge it and wash it, and then you shrink wrap it again. And you keep on doing that until the thing's
inert. It's nice that you're giving people the information on how to do this.
And then you pack it.
We are so getting arrested.
You pack it in something that basically distracts the sniff dogs, so it'd be a perfume or coffee. Or there's a number of different things, but after a while, the feds would figure out that they're looking for certain kinds of combinations. So the dogs would be trained to do that. So everyone's kind of updating their protocols until, you know, but it was a cat and mouse game. It still is.
So like, okay, coffee over there. And then in the meantime, they're putting it over there.
You're getting a small packet that smells richly of coffee. Okay. Then the dogs go crazy.
All right.
What if you actually ordered
NSA,
coffee?
FBI, CIA.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We have nothing to do. Nick Sadler at iloveannculture.com.
Thank you so much. I mean, this is all old news, though. The darknet is the darknet's really yesterday's story. I don't really know.
So there's a darker net now.
I don't know enough about what's going on in the nether regions of the internet at the moment. It used to be kind of the dustbin of the internet used to be 4chan, and then after that went into the darknet and Motherless and a bunch of other places. But I don't know where it's really going these days.
Hmm.
But I think there is. There's a certain danger which we're facing now, which is the end of net neutrality.
Bring it home.
I don't know what
that's
going to do.
We need net neutrality with our little podcast.
Well, I think that's going to start driving actual internet consumption into different and darker areas. It'll be driving us into areas whereby we access the internet outside of traditional systems. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that's going to look like. But
via satellite or something, or
it's entirely possible to set up networks within small areas using power lines, for example,
or tin cans and rope.
That's my favorite part.
Not too dissimilar.
That's how we do the show.
Yeah,
there's a proposal that's been floating around for a while, which I find really intriguing. That most people get gas in the house,
mm-hmm.
okay, and fiber optic cable doesn't
get it in the car.
Do you get gas in the car? You know,
I get gassy at night.
There's gas lines that come into your house, and your gas line's about a quarter inch thick, right? Yeah. Now, a quarter inch thick is if you halve that diameter, you'd still get good gas down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you put fiber optic down the gas lines, which is fiber optic is a non-electrical way of transporting communications, you can put a fiber optic cable about the thickness of a drinking straw, and that thickness would be able to pass communications to a city in blistering speed.
Oh yeah!
All right, crazy, like off the dial speeds. We're talking about terabytes a second.
Mm-hmm.
That's the capability. Now the gas lines could be the place where the internet starts coming out.
Oh,
now,
so they just piggyback. Right?
Basically, the gas lines go into everyone's house.
Right.
So you just push the fiber optic down the gas lines because it's not electrical and it can't catch fire.
Right.
It's completely inert. All it's doing is lights going through it. And you can put it in water. You can put it in gas. You can put it in anything. It doesn't care. And just the communications goes down it because it's just flashing light.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a possibility for us for the future.
It's sneaky.
It is sneaky. And there's technologies which I've been interested for a while in. Which basically are small robotic crawlers that crawl down gas line, dragging cable with them, dragging fiber optic cable.
Can I have a robot do that?
Chuck?
Yeah, man, love robots.
I know him.
Oh, no.
He'll do it. Sexy robots.
He'll do it for
that's the future, baby. That's what we're looking at. And it could be possible that we get all these kind of secondary systems up popping up.
So how does this make our kids gay?
Well, because of education.
Right.
Education makes you – the more intelligent they are, the more they're –
Segways our eye.
They're more interested in
in
sex that's outside the parameters of normal kind of
robot sex. Well, so Common Core apparently is going to cause all of our children to be gay. All of them. All 100% of children who are taught Common Core will be the gay.
I hope so.
I have no problem with that. So, I like the gays.
Okay, so what does that say about parenting? That if Common Core can make your children gay, then there's weak parenting at home. Not weak, but
not anti-gay enough.
Not anti-gay enough, right.
The issue here isn't about the level of homosexuality. It's about the degree of repression. That's what we're dealing with, right? Yeah. Basically,
I don't know about Common Core. Do you know about Common Core? Is a new way of teaching.
It's the education standards, basically the common curriculum, right?
Well, I don't... A teacher friend of mine teaches Common Core, which is like 1 + 1 = 2, but tell me how you get there.
Right.
It's not just memorizing math. It's not just memorizing things. It's right. learning how to get from 1 + 1 = 2 and more complex. And so this state representative, Charles Van Zandt, Republican, shocking, from Florida, said, "These people that will now receive $220 million from the state of Florida, unless this is stopped, will promote double-mindedness in state education and attract every one of your children to become as homosexual as they possibly can." I'm sorry to report that.
I tried to become as homosexual as I possibly can, but just don't dig
deep. I've been told by my gay women friends that I'm just straight.
Yeah.
I was sad about that. I had a sad. Well, because, you know, Stephanie's cute. And I was like, but then they're like, no, you're straight. And I'm like, you're right. I'm not a giver.
Explain this to me, because I just don't understand.
I don't understand it's a different way of teaching. And from what I understand from my friend Becca, she's a teacher. They teach Common Core where she teaches here in Orange County. And it's a critical thinking way. Right.
So if you think critically, that's going to make you gay.
I have no problem with that. More gays then.
This is the interesting thing about their position, though, is that they're trying to push the idea that homosexuality is a choice
right, yes.
that's made by people of deviant character. So there has to be a deviant character kind of present, and then you make the choice to go in that direction. So your normal person, without deviant character, is not going to be gay. But a deviant person can be gay or not be gay. You can pull them either way. So, but with God, you can make a deviant person not gay. And it's completely
insane.
It's completely insane notion that you can deny your sexuality. And I know mine's hard baked. I mean, I look at a good looking young lady and I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's
get them up, gentlemen.
Yeah. How you doing?
Cindy on pole 4.
There's something deep in my core that's rattling my kind of...
Right.
There was a comedian in England called Kenny Everett. Are you familiar with Kenny Everett? No. It was a really wacky kind of guy. And for years and years, people just thought he was just this wacky dude. And then towards the end of his career, he basically came out as being gay. Mm-hmm. And he'd been married the entire time. He was really successful. And on an interview, he was asked, why is it that he managed to maintain this relationship for such a long time? He said, it was really easy. When I made my love to my wife, I just pretended she was Burt Reynolds. And you think, that's funny, right? It's funny.
Yeah.
But
it's funny, but sad.
But so sad. It's so sad that, he probably really loved this woman,
I'm
right?
I'm sure he did.
But that it's so incomplete. So I kind of just wish that they were Burt Reynolds.
A very friend of mine, after 25 years with his wife, he was with his wife for 10 years before they got married, 15 years married, and realized in his early 40s that he was gay. And had to tell her.
That happens. But I was just reading just last night.
And they're very good friends. He's the godfather of her child.
There's this woman who's a writer on Orange is the New Black. Mm-hmm. And relatively young. Uh-huh. Been married 5 months. Mm-hmm. And through the course of writing the show, has decided to come out. You know, and I just think...
Women tend to realize older.
I felt so bad for the guy.
Oh, of course.
I felt so bad for the guy, and this is not like hating on gay women, but I'm just like, this woman is in her 20s, has, you know, has probably been struggling.
Probably.
You know.
For a long time.
5 months into your marriage.
That sucks.
You know, it's like, you couldn't have thought of this like a year ago.
Well, she didn't.
Well, no, I think she thought of it a year ago, but just didn't come to grips with it.
Society and it's not her fault. I mean, she has to take some responsibility for it. But she's living in a society that it's got so much pressure on. You know, her folks are probably saying, "Hey, when are you going to get married and have kids? And when are you going to have a decent relationship? And you know, why is it that you keep on kind of obsessing over the American swimsuit edition of Sports Illustrated?
Because it's great.
Because it's good.
You're hot shit. Wait,
you know, and don't get me wrong. I'm not not trying to bag on this woman for coming out. You know, I just feel bad. I would feel bad for her if it was him.
Absolutely.
You know, after 5 months of marriage, going like,
how long were they dating? But at least he knows that he has nothing to do with it.
No.
And you should feel good about that.
They address this on Mad Men. I don't know if you watch Mad Men or not.
No.
I love Mad Men.
All right. Did you see it this week?
Well, the last episode.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, Libby.
Sorry that I ruined it
for Grey's Anatomy.
I think he's going to get it on with them.
They're going to have a threesome?
With who?
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea. Oh, they've done
that. They did that last week.
I don't know. I don't watch the show.
I think the closing scene.
With Peggy?
With Don and Peggy. I
think. No.
Sorry, Steve.
No, Ricky.
Not Steve.
May I make a prediction here?
Okay, go ahead.
I think that I think him and Peggy are going to get it on.
No.
Let's get it on.
No. You know who he's going to get it on with? Is Pete's new squeeze.
No, too obvious.
Oh, good Lord.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. But
I like Pete's new squeeze. She's sexy. But I think that I think Peggy is the one that is going to he's going to start.
And Steve, you thought I was the guy that does this.
No.
You really thought
that. But getting back to
You don't think so? You're going to put money on it?
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you a Bitcoin for it.
Okay. I'll give you 4 bitcoins. I'll give you a mythological money.
I have Game of Thrones money. You want that?
Have I told you who is it?
Dreams, Hopes?
No, who's the woman?
Aspirations.
Dreams, Hopes.
She's an English.
Been crushed.
Her name is Kerry Allen or English singer. Her father's an actor.
Oh, I thought you were.
Someone.
Lily Allen.
So Lily Allen had been offered.
How do you know that?
I bought that Lily, out of my butt.
Yeah! You are very good.
Thank you.
Richard. Astonishing grasp of popular culture.
No.
So Lily Allen had been offered what was not considered a substantial amount of wedge a while back to perform on a virtual community called Second Life. Are you familiar
with
Second
Life? Yeah. I think I have an avatar there that's just hanging out there.
I do as well.
Wedge is selling for money?
From like 2006, she's just there.
She basically was offered to do a performance on Second Life, and she was offered because the currency in Second Life is Linden, but she was there was a Linden Bitcoin transfer, and so she was offered $10,000 Bitcoin or something at the time. Had she accepted it, she would now be the most wealthy female performer in the world. The value of Bitcoin has risen so much. That amount of money.
How do you
even
translate that into real money?
It was basically at the time the article was written, the Bitcoin was into the substantial thousands marks. So it would have been like it's a huge amount of cash.
What did she have to do as an avatar?
She had to. They were going to create an avatar for her. They were going to mocap her so she could control the avatar and dance and do whatever she wanted. And then she would sing, and the real voice would come out.
I'll do that.
A bit of palaver. Yeah, but she turned it down. She said no. Because her agent said, "Hey, what's Bitcoin? Yeah, I don't know what that is. My God. Some kind of newfangled currency. Who gives a f***?
Yeah.
That's working.
Really? You just said it again.
Wow.
Can't we just leave those in?
We don't have explicit language on this story.
Why not?
Man, I would tap dance eating a bucket of chicken right now holding a watermelon.
Really?
If they would pay me.
Dude is my avatar. I'll show you her picture.
Hello, honey.
Yeah. It's my birthday on Saturday. I'm looking for a performer.
Yeah, it is your birthday on Saturday. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. Hey.
Bitcoin?
I'll be 49.
Really?
Yeah.
You're
really? I'm the baby
man.
In the room.
Thank you.
I'm only 47.
Oh, my God.
I'm the baby.
And you love to bring that.
I'm the baby.
You're looking good, though.
I'm the old man.
I look old. I need things lifted.
How old are you?
53.
Jesus. He's older than our president.
You're looking good.
You're like, gee, I thought you would be more accomplished.
You and me both. I thought I would be more accomplished at this point in my life.
Not really.
I met a plastic surgeon yesterday who has my same birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, we have the same birthday. And I went, yeah, you're a lot younger.
So what are you going to do?
And he goes, I'm not that much younger. Yeah,
what are you
going to
do
you
for
are.
49?
Huh?
What are you going to do?
Get some ammo, some malt liquor, sit on the top of the hill and shoot the coyotes.
Okay, go.
No shooting. No. I'm going to slap you.
No, just throw rocks at them.
Yeah.
Don't shoot
them. It's more humane.
Yeah, they can
run. I like
run.
The coyotes.
Or just curse at them.
Use harsh language. Harsh language. Don't run.
The two who really tick me off at the moment is the rabbits. We got a rabbit problem.
Really?
Yeah. Well, the coyotes everywhere. Will get the rabbits.
No, they're trying to eat the rabbits. So there's lots of rabbits. There's a lot of rabbits this year. I think it's a bit of a climate change thing. There's a lot of rabbits.
Excuse me.
The snakes should get
excuse
the rabbits.
Excuse me. Climate change.
That doesn't exist.
No. And you're gay.
Totally. Common core, man.
Hey, did you see the John Oliver climate change show?
Oh, it was genius, wasn't it?
Wasn't it so funny?
Oh, my God. John Oliver's new show is genius. We only have a few minutes, darling.
He has a bit of a slow burn, the John Oliver show.
It's genius.
But episode 3, he dials in this great routine. He calls in Bill Nye, the science guy, which is on the conservative side of the spectrum. Whenever you want to talk about climate change, you call in Bill Nye, and you stick Bill Nye opposite some two-bit lunatic,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then they always paint the idea that this is a balanced discussion between some kind of religious freak and Bill Nye, who tries to employ logic,
he can't do that.
He's pissing in the windows, poor guy.
Yeah.
So John Oliver brings this kind of guy out, and he brings Bill Nye out, and he said, in the interest of fairness, what we're going to do is we're going to bring out two more people to help out the climate change denier. So he brings these two people out. He said, but we're going to bring out 97 other people to demonstrate the balance of the debate as it appears in the scientific community at the moment, not the political community. God forbid that could be the case.
Yeah.
And so the end of the show ends with John Oliver yelling out over the top of the crowd as this kind of cacophony of kind of people in lab coats and clipboards start berating the climate change deniers. There was 10,855 scientific reports last year, peer reviewed, that were in support of climate change being man-made. There was precisely two that argued the other side of the point.
Right.
It's got to the point now where in the scientific world, it's so skewed toward an analysis that points towards the fact that climate change is we can affect it, we have been affecting it, and we need to do something about it. But still, every time I look at the conservatives,
right. What's his name? Neil deGrasse?
Yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. Right. He's amazing.
Was on CNN, and the argument was like, well, 95% of scientists say climate change is happening. 5% say it isn't. So
It's less than that now.
But he was saying like, okay, you have 97-3, whatever. You're going to give 50% of your time to the 3% to deny or counter the 97%.
Yep.
You know, it just doesn't make sense.
The math
sense.
Doesn't make sense. Yeah.
That's the very, very cornerstone of the idea behind fair and balanced at Fox.
Right.
That is the cornerstone.
Yeah.
The cornerstone of it is to take a marginalized viewpoint and make it fair.
Right.
Fair and balanced means to take the marginal on the right and make it seem sane.
Right. Well, when they say, some say, well, who are the some? Some is like your segment producer and you, two people.
Yeah.
Those are the some. So it's not an equal argument.
Yeah, you're right.
I've heard that tune before. Is that Django Reinhardt?
No, it's needle drop music from Sound.
No,
I think I said that before.
It's a 16-year-old in his basement.
Oh, Borelli Le Grand was a very,
it's
very
Carousel
good.
Carousel 2.
Really?
Yeah,
have you heard of Borelli Le Grand?
No.
Borelli Le Grand was a young gypsy boy, about 14 or 15 years old, who was it was a gypsy as well, Romany, and he could play guitar exactly like Django Reinhardt.
Nice.
And kind of faded into obscurity. He had a few kind of mental problems, but was an amazing guitarist.
Mm.
Borelli Le Grand, check him out.
Look him up.
Mm. Look it up.
All right. Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for listening.
New microphones.
We love the new microphones.
We do.
They have presents.
They do, don't they?
They do. They do.
They do. I'm already getting ready to upload.
Are you really?
Look at
really?
Me go. Look at me go. I'm already go. Doing it, man, because I'm going to go see Annie.
Let's talk about Maya Rudolph's variety show next week.
I can't wait to see that.
I watched it.
Who Maya Rudolph?
She's
genius.
She was on Saturday Night Live, Minnie Riperton's daughter.
And her show's on where?
It was on NBC last week. I think it was a one-off.
It's a pilot episode. She's got a variety show, and she's genius, and she's perfect to host a variety show. She's the only one other than maybe Queen Latifah. There's a few people.
I really like. It wasn't like a perfect show by any stretch, but it wasn't snarky and it wasn't tongue in cheek, and that's what I appreciate.
She's lovely.
About,
we anyway. Love Maya.
Is this an official From the Bunker endorsement?
It is.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
100%. I love Maya.
Yeah.
All right. Good night, kids.
Bye.
Bye.
We'll talk at you guys next week.
Bye.
We will.
Bye.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, I'll be in New York. Did I tell you?
No.
No.
Can I dial in?
Maybe.
I'll try.
We'll think about it.
I will. New York?
New Maya.
New York? Big city of dreams? Everything in New York ain't always what it seems. I know my way around.
Listen to you with the thing with the stuff and the people.
I bring the power.